24/7 society is taking its toll. Increasingly, people are expected to be on call at all times, a condition made possible partly by the array of digital devices that seem to own many of us as much as we own them. Portable, handheld technology allows instant communication and access to knowledge that would have been unthinkable even a few short years ago. But more and more, people feel that this astonishing resource carries a high price.
Ironically enough, I tweeted this recently on Twitter. I asked, is the smartphone the new sweatshop? And I had this deluge of messages from people I don't know saying, thank you, I can't believe you said that, I feel that way, it's happening, I'm a slave to this, how can I get out of it? Many of them young people.
As a former staff writer for the Washington Post and an author, William Powers is steeped in the information age. The tools of his trade permit writing and researching anytime at home and practically whenever he wishes on the road. And it's this unlimited ability that journalists of a previous generation would have envied, but that Powers has now come to view as a double-edged sword. On the one hand, being connected in this way is simply amazing.
I have found these devices so exciting from the start. And I've been a user, in many cases an early adopter of these devices. They're thrilling to me. I love technology. I've been writing about it for a large part of my career. And I completely see, in fact, felt viscerally for years, the draw of these devices for my own work, for writing, for thinking, for interacting with other people who are thinking and getting their ideas and sharing, collaborating. It's fantastic.
But as William Powers points out in his book, Hamlet's Blackberry, instant unlimited communication is so dazzling that it can be a giant multi-sensory distraction. We can so easily get caught up in momentary fascination that ends up diverting us from more focused pursuits.
It's a burden. Also, in addition to all these creative potentials and all these wonderful things we can do with digital, it's a lot to carry around all the time. We carry it around inside of our heads, and I would argue inside of our souls, really inside of our inner selves, this new burden of living in this world where we're all so close to each other effectively and can reach out to each other so easily. And that's the issue, that's the conundrum. I call it the conundrum of connectedness that we're trying to solve.
Of course, not everyone uses computers and smartphones, but the digital divide, especially in the United States, has begun to close. The vast majority of Americans are internet users now, and the number continues to rise year by year. For William Powers, who lives with his wife and child on Cape Cod, Massachusetts, internet access translates into a lot of time staring in front of an electronic screen.
My time was being sort of sucked into the screen, but also on another, I think, more profound level, there is a screen state of mind and a screen way of thinking that is relatively superficial, short attention span, very goal-directed. I'm doing this, and now I'm doing this, and now I'm doing this. One person has called it the search and destroy state of mind. You're going toward these short, you're going from link to link. You're going from A to B to D, and if you can't get to D, you get very impatient. There's an aspect of it that's not...
Because of the instantness of the internet.
Yes, and you get used to the instant quality of it. And there's just an aspect of that kind of thinking that, although in some ways more efficient and certainly miraculous in many ways that you can go from here to some 16th century manuscript in the British Museum in a matter of seconds and be reading what that person wrote all those centuries ago and enjoying it, that's wonderful. But there is an element of using screens to interact with the world and being in that two-dimensional interface that is different from being in the real world and that actually affords a kind of thinking that I find, and I think many others are finding, doesn't take me to the depth I enjoy in my thinking and that it means the most to me.
The internet offers a vast galaxy of possibilities. Literally billions of websites, social networks, songs, videos, games, and other electronic experiences are available immediately at the click of a mouse. Although entire libraries can be accessed this way, the experience of flitting from screen to screen can be drug-like, driven by an unquenchable thirst for greater and greater stimulation.
It's an addiction for some people. I think people who have addictive personalities anyway are more likely to be susceptible to that. There are marriages, many marriages and families are suffering because one or more of the members can't pull themselves away from the screen. And I write about, my wife and I had in the book, I write about how we had great concern about that with our family and some practical things we did to try and combat that.
Can you tell us about some of the concerns in your family?
Sure. So about 4 or 5 years ago, we began to realize that the more connected we got in the technological sense, connected to the outside world as a family and as a household, the more we were being pulled away from each other within the house toward our screens, the easier it was to connect to the world at large digitally, the more tempting it was to do that rather than connecting with each other. I call it the vanishing family trick that we started to do inadvertently after dinner. During the week or on the weekends, we had a little tradition of gathering the living room, just family time together. And we began to do, once we had the wireless broadband distributed all through the house and it was so easy to go online and check and do all these interesting things, I noticed that we would be in the living room and after 5 minutes, somebody would suddenly say, I have to go get a glass of water, or I have to go to the bathroom, or I have to check something. That's the all-purpose phrase. I'll be right back. And that one person would peel off, and then another of us would say, there were just three of us. We have a son. Second person would say the similar thing and disappear, I'll be right back. The last person would inevitably say, well, I guess I'll go check something too. And suddenly the living room would be empty except for our pets sort of staring at each other saying, what happened to this wonderful family gathering? Or they seemed to be thinking that. And we were leaving each other for the screen.
So William Powers, his wife Martha Sherrill, also a former Washington Post writer turned author, and their young son ventured into what for them were uncharted waters.
We just decided to try an experiment where we would unplug as a family on the weekends. The old-fashioned idea of the weekend as time to refresh yourself, time away from the crowd, time away from the burdens of everyday life.
Known in earlier eras and to some people now as Sabbath.
Sabbath, exactly. We called it, so we called it the Internet Sabbath. And it was very simple. We have a one household modem that serves all of us wirelessly, our computers. So we unplugged it Friday night and we said, okay, from here on out, every Friday we're going to unplug and not be plugged back in again until Monday morning. We'll be offline 2 days a week and see how we do. It was very, very difficult in the beginning, serious withdrawal issues.
What was hard about it?
We were completely hooked. And it's funny, it wasn't just on a practical level where someone needed directions and they couldn't get MapQuest, or someone needed a fact for homework and they couldn't go check it on Google. It was almost as if those first few weekends, we didn't know who we were anymore. It was almost a sense of the house being robbed of its most fundamental energy force, this thing that had been coming in from outside. We were wandering around like ghosts, really, bumping into each other, having trouble thinking about how to structure our day. We had been structuring much of our time around those visits to the screen. And we had to help each other. And we had to come up with things to do to take the place of that, activities, and they were nice things. Suddenly we were spending time, we live in a relatively rural area, we were spending more time outside in the woods and in the pond and so forth, and other activities that would fill in for what had been screen time. And in the beginning that was hard, but as time passed and a couple months went by, we realized, wait a minute, this stuff is incredibly fulfilling and enriching. Why were we abandoning this in the first place? The walk in the woods, the conversation, just the two of us on the bench out and back. Why hadn't we been doing this now for so long? Why had we chosen what I call the digital crowd over these family members whom we love so much? And it had been thoughtless. It had never been conscious. We had just stumbled into it. We hadn't examined it. And through the means of this ritual, this Sabbath, we had a chance to examine it and realized how valuable this experiment had been. And now, I don't think any of us would look back, including my son, who's now 13, who's become a bit of a proselytizer among his friends for this idea of...
He's got a pretty cool thing going on at his home.
He does, and he uses it. The thing he does, the strategy he uses is, I've heard him do this, is he tells the friend, look, we can put our mobile phones in this basket and go out back and work on the fort, and the parents won't know where we are. So it's kind of like playing dangerous in a way. And it hasn't occurred to most kids today, from my anecdotal experience, that this could be fun. But when they try it, they find it pretty intriguing.